Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Cera Sanitaryware Limited Q3 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Market Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Market Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Stanford. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 3Q FY18 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us today Mr. Bharat Modi, Strategic Advisor representing the company. I request Mr. Bharat Bhai to take us through the overview of the quarterly results and then we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kamlesh Bhai. I am Bharat Modi, Strategic Advisor to the company. Cera Management is pleased in welcoming you all who have joined this call. Before I start, I would like to read out the disclaimer, which is as follows. Certain statements in this release concerning our future growth prospects are forward-looking statements within the meaning of the applicable security laws and the regulations. These statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties beyond the control of the company that could cause actual results to differ materially from those appearing in such forward-looking statements. The risk and uncertainty relating to this statements include, but are not limited to, risk and uncertainty regarding the fluctuations in the earnings, our ability to manage growth, intense competitions, including those factors which may affect our cost advantages, wage increase, our ability to attract and retain highly skilled professionals, political instability, managerial limitations, legal restrictions of acquiring companies outside India, and unauthorized the use of intellectual property and general economic conditions affect our industry. Cera Sanitaryware Limited may, from time to time, make additional written, oral, forward-looking statements, including our reports to the shareholders. The company does not undertake to update any forward-looking statement that may be made from time to time by any of us or on behalf of the company as a sequel to or in continuation of these statements. The company also expects the media to have access to all the parts of this release and the management's commentaries and the opinions thereon, based on which the media may wish to comment and or report on the same. Such comments and or reporting may be made only after taking due clearance and approval from the company's authorized personnel. Company does not take any responsibility for any interpretations, views, commentaries, reports which may be published or expressed by any media agency without prior authorizations of the company's authorized personnel. I would try to give you some glimpses of the performances that we have achieved during Q3 of FY18. Let me share that despite the continued overall subdued market trend, largely on account of the snowballing effects of the GST rollout, RERA, and to some extent the demand, we have done reasonably well on a top-line growth with about 17.57%. Always, the bottom line has continued to remain under pressures, largely because of the tires business, which due to the product mix, more of the economic range has put pressure on overall margins. According to the unaudited financial results for Q3 released by the company after meeting with the board of directors, Cera has recorded a net sales income of about 290.88 crores during October-December this year as compared to 247.41 compared to Q3 during 16 and 17. The net profit for Q3 has totaled about 22.70 crores as against 22.59 crores for the corresponding period of the FY17. Cera has recorded EBITDA margin of 42.51 crores in October-December this year compared to 41.13 during Q3 of FY17. The earning per share during October-December for FY18 are worked out to be 17.75 rupees. Having said this, I would now suggest to come on the questions from the participants and we'll try to answer to the best of our information. We can now start the questions on this.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star then one on their touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. Participants would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. We take the first question from the line of Dhaval Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is that you told that the tiles business impacted the overall margin. So is it because of the pricing pressure which even the bigger players are seeing in the PVT, GVT segment? It is entirely because of that or the second thing is because of the increase in fuel costs? That is also one of the concerns which we have faced.
You see, there are both the ways you could look at it. The product mix that we have in a tiles currently, you know, is more on a soluble salts, which is an economic range.
Okay.
We have taken a lot of steps in terms of upgrading our technology where we could go for, you know, GVT as well as PVT and double charge. And these should become operational and we'll having a better margins and a better product mix starting. Beginning will be made in the current quarter and starting the next year, FY19, we'll have a better impact on this.
Okay.
On a fuel cost, definitely, yes. The fuel cost has been on a rise and therefore our cost of production also at Anjani Tiles has been slightly higher.
So have we taken any price increase in the tiles?
We have not. We have not as such, excepting, you know, selectively in some of the things where we would, we could push, you know, a part of the capacity which we have used for PBT and GVT. But overall in the tiles, the price increase has been the secondary rather than, you know, we need to have a better market share. We want to have better footage. We need a better share in the competitive market.
Sir, now coming to overall demand, I understand that Q3 still there was some snowballing effect of GST. So when you expect the demand to be steady?
Well, despite these, we have grown with about 17% overall growth. And even if I share some of those ties, definitely we have grown. But, you know, when you compare Q3 of FY17 and Q3 of FY18, there have been a growth definitely, even on a sanitary ware, allied products, faucet ware, everywhere there's a growth. The question is, this growth also has to face the cost push. Our cost of production also has gone up. There have been a wage rise. There was a new contract that we had to sign with the laborers, which is valid for about next 3 years from now. We have been recruiting a lot of people, adding strength to our manpower to really focus on segmented lines like faucet as well as tiles. Now, all this put together has a bearing on the cost. Vis-a-vis the price rise, we have taken very moderate. So growth is definitely there. The profit is under pressure. That's what the first statement I have made.
Right. So can you quantify the price hike which we have taken in our core sanitary ware and faucets portfolio?
Well, we have taken anything between 2.5% to 5%, depending upon the product, the territory, and where, you know, we feel that, okay, we need to focus more. So this has been across, including faucets.
Okay. So that we have taken in Q3 itself?
Yes, we have taken in October itself.
Okay.
We done it just after the GST's first quarter, we just experienced. In fact, it was much awaited even before that. Even in Q2, the GST was in the offing and therefore we were a bit skeptical. We were holding back that we will not take a price rise till we realize what GST can do about. Once having realized what GST is all about and how the market is going to react about it, that's not going to impact much in terms of our taking a price rise. Because you don't really take your decisions based on a 2 or 3% whether you want to buy or not, generally. But then 2 or 3% or 5% makes a large difference in terms of our overall contributions that we bring to the books. And therefore, we have selected, as I said, you know, Q3 beginning itself, we have taken a price rise.
Okay. So, but post November, after the change in rate, have we passed it completely, or we have adjusted the prices accordingly?
No, we have to an extent that, you know, the difference which was resulting purely because of the tax advantage on GST, we were under an obligation, and it's very rightly to do a business that we are, government also expect that you must pass it on, which we did it. All that price rise that we have adjusted is purely because of the cost push.
Okay. So that's it from my side, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Chintan Seth from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Bharat, for the opportunity. Great set of numbers in terms of top line growth, industry-leading numbers, but margins are disappointed. But on an overall basis, what do you see how margins will pan out once this aberration will stabilize? Do you think 18 will be a bottom in terms of margin, and we can start looking at FY19 as a fresh numbers like we have reported in FY16?
I've been saying almost in every call, Q1, Q2, even Q3, I'll be repeating that part, that this year FY18 is the year of a consolidation.
Correct.
The year of a consolidation sphere, there are two ways you could look at it. One is, you know, there are a lot of fiscal reforms which have been rolled out, which has a great impact during FY18, number one.
Okay.
And number two, overall market, due to those fiscal reforms, is one that market had to really adjust to a new set of working style, was also causing a lot of reforms which were requiring at a micro level in terms of how dealers, distributors, and even the buying habits people were earlier used to, now what they would, because they would be seeing a clear-cut GST on their invoice.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, the invoice was probably hidden, that even there was a VAT, you know, it was a consolidated bill which was given. The consumer was not aware about what is it and what is not all about. And I'm talking the retail consumer. And therefore, now GST, which comes, you know, a lot of people raise an eyebrow about, 18% I'm paying to the government. And these sometimes, you know, you how long can you defer even if you know you want to buy was a question that was at a go for. That, okay, there have been a pressing requirement in terms of I want to renovate a bathroom or I want to buy a new apartment, how long can I wait for that? Which is, there have been always a atmosphere which was trying to say, look, here the real estate prices may stabilize and may go down or take a dip.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, this tug of war was between I need and probably I can wait. And therefore, the FY18, irrespective of all those things, I have always termed it as a year of a consolidation. And we look forward to FY19 with better prospects. A lot of stability should come into it. And I believe that will be the year that will become after the first quarter, how the monsoon really sets on, because we still are predominantly agriculture country.
Right.
And a lot of economic value which really gets generated is because of the agricultural produce which comes to the market in one or the other way, which pushes economy.
Right.
Now, this is going to play a lot of things. So, you know, I might probably repeat my statement even in Q1 as well. Let's wait for a while how we really go on the bottom line growth. Your top line probably we've been trying to manage in terms of the growth. But then once, you know, Q2, you have a complete picture in front of you how the rain and the agriculture producers are going to come back and would reward India.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could take on from there would be the most plausible judgment on this. Till that, you know, we always will be keeping, yes, you know, we always hope for the best. And yes, we are heading toward hoping for the best.
Mm-hmm. In terms of market share, unorganized to organized shift, post-GST, now it's almost a couple of quarters which we have witnessed. What's your take on ground, how that has happened? Any changes, material changes you've seen that preference has shifted to organized players, and now with e-way bill coming in from February, how things on ground looking up for...
Well, if you take in terms of the growth, you know, when I give a comparable figure of Q3 of FY17 and Q3 of FY18, there is a growth which itself vouches that here there has been a shift,
right.
Number one, I would say.
Right.
Question is, the shift is it as much as that we would desire it to be, or is it as much as that government wants it to be, is a $1 million question.
Right. Correct.
It's a gradual shift. You know, you can't really expect that, okay, from overnight, from next day it's going to happen. But yes, there are a lot of positivity that we really see in the market. And it's a gradual process. So you need to at least, you know, with such a large reform that you've been talking about, the country which has been used to a different kind of a style in doing a business, where cash is the king, was always a slogan. And to that, from that, you know, you go to what exactly is a digital or probably what it has to be accounted money. Now, there is a shift, yes. The mindset are different and mindset are changing. And changing for positivity, changing for better. So let's hope that, okay, yes, in coming years, maybe years, 2 years or 3 years down the line, whatever that you probably expect as of now within a quarter, I believe that it needs to be given a larger time span rather than we make a judgment only on a performance of a single quarter.
Correct.
Secondly, even bill when it comes.
Directionally, what has happened so far?
That's what I said. The growth itself vouches that, yes, you know, we still have been maintaining growth. Well, unless, you know, we accept that as a reality that growth does happen, you know, I can't get it further. And e-way bill, when it comes, let's say, has come from 1st of February, is definitely going to, you know, solve a lot of problems in terms of which otherwise, you know, post-GST regime people were able to find some sort of a cloud store, which will get plugged more and more. So government is determined, you know, this is where we need to accept. Now, these determinations socially, politically, in terms of the resistance, in terms of election mood, in terms of a lot of things gets what kind of a color is in this country is too unpredictable to really know in a short span of 3 months. So let's wait for about a year down the line, then we exactly would know what way it really figures out. But then we are very positive about this.
Okay. And so CapEx, bookkeeping questions on segment mix and CapEx.
Well, we have been committed to a CapEx in terms of, you know, rolling plan that we do have. We still use it on, and we have been incurring, you know, CapEx in terms of modernizing, upgrading our faucet plants where we have put up, which I last time also had said in my con call that our zinc handle a lot of robotics that we have brought into that part. And therefore, you know, the productivity as well as the consistency, uniformity of the product quality is going to be boosted up. So currently, besides only a capacity increase, we are more focusing on building capabilities.
Okay.
And the CapEx has more focus on building capabilities, as I said to you.
Right. So how much we have spent so far in 9 months and was target for FY19?
One second. Let me give you a figure for CapEx. Wait a minute. We have spent close to about 48 crores in Q3.
Okay, in Q3
itself. Yes, and overall that we have spent up to 9 months is 93 crores.
Sure. Okay, and so segment mix, percentage sales, revenue mix for sanitaryware, allied.
Well, Q3 we have total sanitaryware coming to about 55%, out of which about 11.5% is allied product. Balance 43.50% is for sanitaryware, makes 55 total. We have 21% coming from faucets.
Yes,
we have the tiles contributing 22%.
Okay.
And the wellness is about 2%.
And manufacturing outsourcing mix in sanitaryware?
Well, is almost 50-50 when you really talk about decombination about that. But sanitaryware is more in terms of the volume.
Right.
But otherwise in faucets, we have about 12% outsourced and 11% 11.5% is outsourced and about 10.5%, 11% is in-house. And ties, of course, is 100% outsourced, though we have committed with the JV, but we still treat as an outsourcing partner, one of the outsourcing partners. So it's Sarah Persa does not manufacture ties.
I will join back into it. Thanks for the advice. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Siddharth Rajpurohit from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, what has been our debtor days currently and how it has moved over the last few quarters?
Come again? What is our?
Debtor days?
Debtor days. Debtor days, we have about 55 to 60 days.
And how it has moved, sir, last two, three, 2 to 3 quarters?
Well, it has been on an increase. You know, we generally had about 52 days. Now it has gone to about 60, 65, sometimes, and sometimes 70. Again, it comes back. So we try to have a tight control. But yes, working capital is under pressure.
Okay. And sir, with this GST and now e-way bill coming, do you see any more plants that are coming up in Morbi or in that region, sir?
Well, everybody is entrepreneur. A lot of people are feeling that yes, Thai Steel has unexplored overall market and they are committed to increase capacities. At the same time, you have a lot of capacities which is not being used fully and lying unused. So, it's an entrepreneurial decisions lying with the Morbi people, how they see market, but yes.
Capacities are but coming up.
Well, they are, yes. There are a lot of people who still feel that there's still a lot of room for new capacities. But that's their own feelings about it. And we largely would subscribe to those views, yes, I see the huge market. If you really go on a macro level, the per capita consumption of a Thai is lowest in India, even when compared to the neighboring countries like Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Malaysia, Thailand. And therefore, in terms of the most economical flooring with less labor cost, vitrified tiles is the best option.
Okay. Sir, means earlier when we entered the market, sir, we came with a lot of disruptions, with a lot of color offerings, but now the market has moved to plain white. So what is the differentiator that we can create now?
Are you talking sanitary or tiles? First of all, is
sanitary,
a product? Sanitary. Sanitary, we still have. You know, we were once upon a time, or even today, we have been offering the largest color range, and the very reason that we have been very strong in the southern market. The business or the customer's culture differs largely and has a wide variety of difference between north and the south.
Okay.
In south, people prefer dark color or a colored sanitary ware because of the water has a lot of issues which get deposited in terms of, and they feel that yes, if it is colored, then it's really get hidden, and if it is white, then it's very, very visible. But then the pure white, as well as when you talk about ivory whites, these were always very standard colors. These still remains with the southern part of the thing where we always about 40 to 40% of this coming from. North has always been on a white, and they never except north and west both.
Okay.
They have very least of the preference for the colored sanitary ware, and this combination still goes. We have a product which is a snow white product which we have been promoting, and it's still there, and this is catching up, always been in demand.
Okay. So on e-way bill, government was not ready, but was our network ready? Do you see transporters been, everybody been well in line with the system?
See, we have a very, very organized transporters who take our goods across nation.
Okay.
And even if anybody, they had some sort of an issues, we had a team which used to help them out. But yes, there are always issues, smaller, bigger issues, and we always try to straighten them out. But then there is an ongoing help that our people, they try to offer to them. Yes, where are you stuck? Let's know.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ajay Thakur from Alder Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I had two questions. One was, if you can just give us the growth rates of sanitary ware, faucet, and tiles for Q3.
The growth rate for sanitary ware has remained 13.70%. Allied product has grown by 10.32%. Faucet has grown by 24%. And tiles has grown by 57%.
Can we also have these numbers for 9 months?
That I'll have to really work on that part. I had only for the Q3, and therefore maybe you could come out separately on this. But maybe if not now, maybe on a separate call you would ask me, but I'll be ready with those figures. I had not expected this question that beyond 3 months you would be asking. But anyway, you have the right to ask me, and I'm supposed to be answering, but give me a time.
Not an issue, sir. Secondly, I wanted to check on the power cost. What would be our power and fuel cost for the Q3?
Power and fuel cost has been on a rise, honestly. And this is one of the reasons why, our margins also have been on a pressure. Power has less generation this time in terms of, because one of the windmills that we had an issue, and therefore the supplier, he is not cooperating in terms of the repairs part of it, so we had to lose out on the generations on the windmill. And these have remained almost closed for about 2 or 2.5 months, and therefore this is slightly that we have to use the normal power or we have to buy an interim power. That's why the power costs have gone marginally up. It's not that high, but still marginally up, yes. Because, you know, overall, if you see the energy cost is hardly about, you know, less than 2% put together when you talk about gas as well as power, and they more or less contribute equally between two of them, and therefore 1% even going up higher by, you know, 5 or 7% or even a 10%, that makes very marginal difference. But yes, in terms of absolute amount, it has gone and contributed in terms of the raising my cost. The gas, we also have to use more of the market rate Sabarmati gas for the capacity that we increase beyond 2.7 to 3 million, and therefore the gas cost also has been on a rise. So these two have slightly contributed higher in terms of the cost, but it's a marginal difference.
Sir, can we know the market prices of gas currently and how it was maybe like 6 months or a year back?
You know, if you take about a year back, in fact, you know, the administered mechanism price was about 9 rupees. Today I'm getting a 7.44, but I do not get as much as we want. And today the market rate gas we are buying, you know, at about 29 rupees, which again in terms of the calorific value when I compared with the administered price mechanism is 20% less. And therefore, my overall cost 28% goes to about 32%, which used to be 26 rupees earlier.
Okay. Pretty helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Manish Agarwal from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Achal Lohade here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Sir, can you help us with the power and fuel absolute number for the quarter, sir?
One second, power and fuel. I think power is about 13.77 crore, but I need to check on that cost. Would you mind if I come back to you on this exact with data?
Sure. Why
I would revert. One second. Let me write down your question so that I can answer you that part. You need power cost breakup, right? I'll mail you separately on this, or anybody who else would like to know more about this can always come back to me on this, and I would be mailing them separately on this.
Sure.
Or I could ask our coordinating partner, Amtrak people, to circulate this to anyone who wishes.
Sure. I'm asking is QOQ, the gross margins are marginally increased, while your EBITDA margins are down almost 150 basis points. So just wanted to understand, because other expenses have gone up, part of that would be power and fuel. So just wanted to understand, is there a one-off apart from increase in power and fuel cost?
No, you know, there are two ways you could look at it. One is statutorily we have to present our balance sheets and our profit and loss account, which is as per SEBI rules, where we have to give a consolidated figure about even what we outsource and what we manufacture in-house. Now, when you talk about a pure EBITDA in terms of the operational aspect, EBITDA margin is applicable only to the product that we manufacture. And therefore, in our ties, as well as the faucet that we manufacture, we reasonably have a margin very high. But what happens, you know, when you really have an outsourcing products also like tiles in particular, when you bring in where our margins are compared to the manufacturing margins are pretty low. And therefore, when you know, you have a growth coming from tiles proportionately more than the growth in sanitary ware or a faucet, overall EBITDA margin would definitely be under pressure. Now, this is absolute arithmetic.
No, I was
saying
on QOQ basis, sir.
Yeah, this is exactly what I'm giving a general thing, you know, that exactly this is what it happens, you know.
Yeah, Understood.
But the composition of it is, which is more where, you know, I do not have an EBITDA margin as an impact, but then, you know, overall my top line has included that part, and we do not really make any EBITDA margin there. But then when you combine all the top line and you have what you generated as a manufacturing profit also really is attached to outsourced top line, the margin would definitely be under, it will be lower margin. But if you purely go, let's say, on a manufacturing margin with what manufacturing sales, that margins are exactly what we have been doing for years.
Got it.
It is, so, what is really bringing, you know, entire thing, that's what in my beginning of the concord I said, we have a pressure only because of the ties, and that too because we have been selling more economic range.
Understood.
The crux lies there.
From QOQ perspective, sir. Because the mix doesn't seem to have changed much.
Therefore, I said, you know, I would have made the statement even Q1 also. But then I was probably hoping that, okay, it can really recover. But then the whole year has not afforded those opportunities where we could recover it back. So I had to make this time very clear about it. That is purely because of the ties business that we have been dragged down.
Correct.
And not only the ties as a business, but the composition of a product mix within the ties business has really impacted us. And now to rectify that, you know, we have been now focusing more on a GVT as well as maybe in a double charge, which in a time to come, let's say 6 months from now, those margin when it starts contributing, our EBITDA margin as well as our ROE, you know, would be much better than what currently we are reporting.
Understood. My second question was in terms of the geography mix for us, and how has been the performance? Has the performance been similar across, or is there any skewness actually in there?
This is southern market sales, it contributes about 40-42%. Yes, there has been a slight change in terms of what Kerala used to contribute and what Andhra and Telangana used to contribute. Kerala has slightly remained very stagnant in terms of the growth, whereas to compensate that, Telangana and Andhra has picked up and compensated that part. Karnataka has been steady on this. Tamil Nadu has always been a difficult market for us. Though we hardly have about 5% business coming from there, this has not increased. But then, you know, it was very difficult to make a dent in Parivas Dan. And despite these, you know, we have been trying very hard and we have been getting a lot of acceptability of the product. So we have started looking into it by creating a lot of display centers, a lot of hoardings, a lot of things, you know, we want to really put into that as visibility of Sera products. And this is helping us as well from the inquiry that this has been able to generate on that part. But Kerala, as I said, has remained slightly stagnant on these, and this has been compensated with the growth that we have experienced in Telangana as well as in Andhra both. So it's about 40-42%. Gujarat and Maharashtra all put together is reasonably good about it. The same percentage continues. So is Rajasthan as well as Haryana and the Punjab. Uttar Pradesh has been marginally higher, I might say, including Delhi. We have started more focusing even on West Bengal, where Calcutta and the other northeast region have been trying, but still, not as much as that we would have liked that to be, but still we have a lot of virgin market in Orissa, Jharkhand, Bihar, the largest state like Madhya Pradesh, Uttar Pradesh also. So there have been things and also, but there the competition also has been very strong from Hindwar.
Right. The other question was, in terms of the market share, would it be possible to understand just broad market share for us in case of sanitary and faucet? I understand tiles will be very small at this point.
Tiles is very small. Faucet, where, you know, we hardly about 3%, 2.5% of the organized market share. We still have a lot of things, and we hope that, okay, that is a business which is going to take us through for a, in terms of the growth as well as in terms of the margins, both. Sanitary ware is growing, but then compared to the faucets, because of the low base, sanitary ware is, though growing, you know, as I said, I give a figure about 13%, 13.5% growth compared to Q to Q. I'm just comparing Q3 17 and Q3 18. The growth is there.
Right.
And now so, we've been using our capacity is almost about 98%. We also have been outsourcing, continued outsourcing. Now we need to play around how we really change our product mix, how we use our capacities, where we have more premiumized item.
Correct. Sir, in terms of the rural, urban, possible to share any color, what kind of mix we have,
We still have a lot of things coming from tier 2, tier 3, and tier 4 kind of a towns. These exactly where, you know, we are a value for money products. And when you talk about, you know, the state capitals, like, let's say, you know, to talk about Chandigarh, you talk about Jaipur, talk about Ahmedabad, talk about Pune. Yes, we have a premium range. But if you really talk about metros, like, let's say, what would happen in Delhi, what would happen in Bombay, where the apartment costs are too high and, you know, compared to that, the cost of the sanitary ware is too meager to really reckon about and offer any benefit in terms of the cost advantage.
Correct.
And therefore, even the builders, even though they would be offering international brands and, you know, people are more brand conscious there and therefore they feel. But we have a reasonably good market in the suburbs in Bombay, you know, in the things when you talk beyond Kandivali, in Borivali, or even we have seen some of the things even in and the Malad and those kind of things where in the new apartments which are, you know, 1.5 bedroom, 2 bedrooms apartments are using Cera. But as you really go down south, you know, when you go start under the Mangana, where probably you will not find Cera that prominently.
Got it. So why I'm asking, sir, because there seems to be a lot of focus on the rural side by the government. I'm just curious to know in terms of the distribution, in terms of the mix we have, how much do we get from the probably below tier 3, tier 4 towns? Is there anything we have
right now?
We have
come out with another brand called Ajit, which is, you know, we are segregating Cera even from Ajit so that you don't mix up on that part, but it's from the house of Cera so that you are assured about the quality, but we completely outsource that. We do not use our capacity. It's more of a volume game. And we are eyeing affordable housing market, which is expected to churn out in next about couple of years from now. This is going to be a market, and therefore you want to establish that brand that ESG is definitely going to be very competitive for those kind of apartments. And it's a volume game. And our margins, you know, in terms of the overall absolute margins, as well as the percentage margins, are as much as what we otherwise would make on the premium products. I mean, sorry, the normal middle range products.
What's the mix at this point in time from
Jeet? Well, currently Jeet is only rolled out about a few months back, and therefore, you know, we are trying to market it in a very separate way. It's going to be more to going to the institutional buyers rather than into a retail as of now. And we are just posing them and offering them, okay, look, this is what the product that we are able to offer you, and therefore whenever. But currently what happens, you know, because of RERA, because of unsold inventory is lying, the new projects, though the government is trying to give a lot of push in terms of affordable housing, but still the projects have to come on a floor, and then, you know, they would be using sanitary ware only when it comes to a finishing stage.
Correct.
So therefore, you know, it's too premature as of now. Maybe, you know, in another 6 months, your question will be very valid. I'll be able to answer you more.
Got it. And just in terms of the e-way bill, I understand it was supposed to happen from 1st of Feb, but got deferred. Have we seen any disruption for us in terms of movement of our product?
No, not at all. Because, you know, we have all the distributors, dealers who have been very organized.
Right.
You know, even if they are buying material from Morbi independently of us, that is their question. But when they buy with us, you know, these absolutely, even without EA bill right from day one. We always used to invoice and we always used to get money in our credit in our bank account. So we were at least affected accepting. There have been some formality in terms of the documentation, which is new to many, and therefore one has to fall in line. And these might take initially teething issues, nothing beyond that.
Right. And just last question, sir, if I may. You know, in terms of the broad color, in terms of the demand side, are you seeing any pickup or it still remains sluggish? And B, in terms of the margin performance, if you could talk about...
The market response has improved. This is all I can say about it. And therefore, our growth, if you see, you know, 17%, 17, 18% growth in a situation like this compared to all our peers, you yourself can make it out what way we are really figuring it out. So we are very, very, very bullish, and we are very confident, even if not bullish, that yes, you know, it's a question of a time. Eventually, how long can you defer that you will not buy a toilet or you will not buy a wash basin? These are essentials, though they are not an essentials which you need next day, like, you know, toothpaste or a masala. But these are discretionary essentials which you'll have to take a call one day. How long can you defer it out?
Got it. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Omkar Kulkarni, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since you said the capacity utilization is at 98%, is there any capacity expansion you are planning?
Well, currently the market is subdued, and therefore, we have all the things which is ready almost to really further increase by 10% on sanitaryware. But currently, we are trying to feed the market with outsourced facilities. So, okay. We don't lose out on the market.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of excess capacity is available with outsourcing partners.
Okay. And the segment-wise capacity utilization, can you say? Tell us.
Sanitaryware, as I said, about 98%. We have about 60% capacity, 65% on faucets and tiles on Anjani, where we have a committed JV, is about 75%, 80%.
Okay, 75% to 80%. Okay. So, and as you said, from Q4 or say next year first quarter, you will be focusing more on say premium products of tiles. That will improve your margin going forward.
That's exactly what, you know, the question in front of us is that, okay, how do we improve our working and our margins on tiles? The only way that we look forward is that, you know, there is a limit to which you could really pressurize on a cost. But then, you know, there is always, you can expand your revenue and if you offer a better product line. Suraj has a tremendous brand value and therefore people do not question about a quality. The question is about a range that are we able to offer it or not, and therefore the steps that we have been taking, we have started already for last quarter, almost this quarter also we have started taking those steps, which should really fructify maybe in the next couple of quarters from.
Okay, so the growth of about 50% is because of this low margin products or any other reason for that?
Well, currently what sells in the market is what we have been selling, but it does not bring a bottom line fatter to us.
Yeah.
So now we need to change our strategy that if we're without losing, you know, even the kind of a margin that we are getting on a bottom, on a low level, we continue. But then, you know, we would be changing a product mix.
Okay, but is there
a lot of people are, a lot of business we are losing today is because we do not have a higher range.
Okay. So there is acceptance for the higher range. That is true, right?
Oh, yes, very much, very much. People have been asking about this.
Okay. So you have started doing that, right?
We have already initiated, yes.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, and what is the current ROE and ROC of the company?
Well, current ROC, we only generally work out only at the year end because there are a lot of vagaries which does not allow us to really give you a stable ROE when you talk on a quarterly basis. So wait till the next quarter comes where we have a full year, then we'll really discuss this part.
Okay, and any plans on stock split or anything?
Well, that's a board of directors decision. I don't think that forms a part of the agenda for the con call. So that's not my I can't answer. It could be there, could not be there. Even if I say I'm not the right person to really address this, it's a board which will decide.
But if you forward this thing to the board of...
Well, we always would put it forward that that's what investors are looking forward to it. But this has been the message, even the management knows about it. But they feel that hardly really, you know, helps. And they are not interested in, you know, playing around with the share price. They want to perform.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Sorry?
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aksh Vora from Praj Financials. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to know if there are any opportunities in inorganic growth, after GST, as you've been saying that the year has been of consolidation. So have we seen any opportunities in inorganic growth?
You see, we are in a business. We are a businessman. We are a cash rich company. We are sitting on heaps of cash, and therefore, you know, we are always on a lookout. The question here comes, you know, when you really try for an inorganic growth with the people who are at a stage where the, you know, corporate governance, when you make a due diligence, do not really satisfy you much, one. And when you start negotiating with them, you know, the expectations about the valuations go on a rooftop.
Correct.
Instead, you know, we always feel that it's better to really continue our outsourcing, and when they come on earth, you know, they feel realized that, yes, that's the best way to do it, you know, we are always ready.
Sure.
But then we must get at a right price, you know. We are not in a hurry to really, you know, give any kind of a price which is unjustifiable.
Yeah, No, I just wanted to know if post-GST, if those opportunities... No,
even pre-GST, post-GST, we have been on a lookout, we have been examining, you know, at least, you know, within a month I get 3 proposals on an average. But when you really examine the books, the venues, speak to them, you know, expectations, what way they can add value to CERA, then, you know, there has to be certain standard that, you know, whatever the investment that I make has to have, because the previous question somebody asked me about an ROE, right? Now, when I really make an investment, what kind of an ROE would be there? If that does not go well with us, then what is the sense of making an investment in that? Instead, it's better to outsource and continue that part. So we are in a business, we are on a lookout, and if we get the right price, the right business, we are definitely keen to really take that.
Another one, I just wanted to do some understanding on tiles. Like you said that there's a lot of demand on premium category, but I think so. Tiles is only one segment where the brand doesn't play out. Like if you see in sanitary wear compared to sanitary wear or faucets, the brand does play out, like the name, logo. And tiles, the brand doesn't seem to play out. Does the brand play a big role in tiles, or it is highly commoditized? I don't know. I just wanted to understand.
I completely agree with you. The tiles, you know, has a brand value only as long as the box is not opened. Once it is fitted, nobody wants to know which brand have you fitted into it. And honestly, all the top players have a similar kind of a design and a range. There is a difference. Unless you go for an extremely exclusive product, which has, in terms of the overall market, if you talk about those exclusivities, hardly less than 3% or 5%. And when you talk about 3 or 5% to really create a value and getting a dent into that, you have to spend a lot of efforts. So what we are focusing now that, you know, we are a value for money brand as we are pursued about it. So we need a larger horizontal spread. So we would be continuing with this. And in spite of that, it brings a lot of top line growth for us. Now we need to focus that, yes, it also has to contribute to the bottom line. Only top line does not make us happy about it. So first of all, you know, we wanted to make a dent. We needed our footprints to be strong that yes, we are in a tiles business. We offer a wide range. When the acceptability is that, yes, there are a lot of people today don't know that we are in tiles. Can you imagine that? Now, this is where, you know, when we get a market feedback, oh, you are in tiles as well. We would have liked to buy that out. But then, you know, we did not know about it. So today our efforts are to really create more visibility. At the same time, offer a variety and a wide range of a product. Because we don't want to carry along with the visibility that, okay, yes, they have to say, but, you know, they don't have enough range. So, you know, these go hand in hand. So our strategies and marketing as well as sales are going hand to hand. So this is what we have taken as one of those key result areas, which is going to help us in time to come. Maybe, you know, year down the line, maybe your questions, I'll be in a better position to answer.
Appreciate it. So lastly, if you can just give a mix on upper middle class segment that you cater to. So if you can just
We still have a, you know, popular market, what we call a mass market. We have about business coming about 40 to 42%. Anything between 38 to 42%, I would put it this way. And then above that, you know, there is a middle level range, which again we have divided into, you know, upper as well as upper lower. Now upper lower is about close to about 20-21%, and upper is now gaining, which used to be equal 22-22.5 earlier. Now the trend is shifting toward upper more. And above that, there is a premium range, what we call it, about 15%, 14%, 15%. So our middle range is about 45%.
Right. And then in these categories, upper and premium categories, the delta in margins would be, so if you can just...
Well, when you talk about a mass or a popular market, compared to the margins are slightly, you know, is not that making big amount of a difference. But then, you know... it goes as a combo that, okay, when you talk to a dealer or a distributor, he has a composite of a product or a customer that visits his shop. He's a mix of it. So you can't only say, I'll only give you a premium all and I will not give you this, or I only will give you this. So margins are slightly different, but then overall margin, when you talk about a truckload, it makes we try to make a combinations where our margin remains unaffected. But of course, when you really go and upgrade yourself to a premium and upper, the margins are slightly better.
This upper and premium category, where would you like to see that as a segment contributor in, say, next 5 years?
Well, we have been trying to, you know, debating that do we need a second brand which is to be above a Sera brand. You know, we have brought a brand which is below Sera, which is Jeet now. Now, you know, Sera is such a strong brand, and to really spin out any new brand would call for a heavy media advertisement expenditures. And many times, you know, you spend a lot and the results that one would get is not that very encouraging. There are our peers and our big brothers have done this kind of a thing. They have more than one, maybe about 3 or 4 or 5 brands. But then even if you ask a lot of people within the industry, they don't know how many brands do they have. Leave us at the end user or a customer. So many times, you know, creating a new brand, you spend heavily on this, which becomes a revenue expenditures, and your margins automatically get pressured, but if it's not able to generate business. So this is very debatable chicken or egg kind of a situation, but yes, we have realized it that we need to promote one more brand which is slightly above Sera, either Sera Plus or Sera Premium, whatever the way we might call it. So we have been working hard on through this, and maybe in another 6 months, some decisions would be rolled out.
All the best for that, sir. And just lastly, sir, do you see demand coming back in the second half of FY19, the strong demand coming back, or do you see it will take some more time?
Well, you talk about macro-level economics, you know, there been a lot of government encouragement in terms of affordability, housing for all. The interest rate for housing is getting lower. There are a lot of subsidies coming in one or the other way. Therefore, this construction business, when you talk about, is definitely going to be there. The crux lies not in the construction, not all the costs of a construction. The prices of the land, number one, the prices of the land with the stamp duty when it is transferred. Again, you pay stamp duty when you sell a property, when you pay GST. So there are certain fiscal reforms which has been brought into it. People are still, you know, finding ways how they would be able to convince the end user. For example, you know, if you buy an apartment which is worth about 150 lakhs and then you pay about 18%, 12% GST, 6% stamp duty makes about 18%. So 27 lakhs you pay towards the government says that they taxes. Now, this is what the customer feels very... In this country, you know, we as a breed are always... I may be excused for using this thing, but we are not really encouraging a tax regime which has to be very truthful or very transparent about these. There are so many reasons. We don't go into that part, but this pinches the end user. And therefore, a lot of people try to find ways, and then this is how, but over a period of time, this has to be adjusted. There is no other way. So I may probably say, yes, one more quarter, two more, I may be wrong, but then overall, if you take a 3 years one from now, yes, we are riding for a positive economy.
Thanks a lot, sir, for patiently answering all the questions.
Pleasure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Samar Sarda from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Bharatbhai, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, Samar, good afternoon.
On the Jeet brand, like you, if I'm not wrong, you launched it in October 2017, and like you mentioned your plans on the call as well. What I wanted to know was, when you mentioned institutional, will you also be catering to the government-built housing, or it will be like housing which will be developed by private developers?
Both. We will not be directly contacting the government housing, but then there are contractors who are set contractors, because generally government agencies always deal with notified and registered contractors. And those contractors are always our dealer distributors. They always are in touch with them, and they are able to offer that kind of a range. So there will not be a billing that would become directly from Sera to those kind of a thing, but it always be routed through our dealer network as well as to the contractors.
Okay. So on the private side, what ticket size of homes will you target when you're like marketing the Jeet brand?
Less than 20 lakhs, 12 to 20 lakhs.
Perfect. And from a pricing perspective, how much will be the Jeet pricing of a sanitaryware product versus like a normal Cera product, entry level Cera product?
The size of a wash basin will be also reduced, you know, because the room size are also smaller.
Right.
And, you know, they may even go for more, you know, even if you have two bathrooms, for example, generally even affordable housing also offer two bathrooms nowadays. So one bathroom may have, you know, a European style kind of a WC, the other will have an Indian style. So this kind of a combination, when it goes, you know, it will be of a low level, which we completely will be outsourcing. We'll not be using our capacities on this. And therefore, the GT is spinned out as a new brand to that part.
Fair enough. And like, if I'm not wrong, so this year will be between 6.8 to 7 billion rupees of revenue from a sanitaryware perspective only. I'm not taking faucetware and tiles from RSD.
You could take about 45%, and we probably would like, you know, our management has already made a statement earlier publicly that we are looking for an overall growth about 15 to 16%. So last time when we did about 1,000 crores, you know, you could, as per what our management, our chairman and our CEO has said, would come to about 1150, 1160,
right.
Maybe 1200. It will be slightly ambitious, but 1150 is what they have been talking about. And therefore, if this happens, you know, we'll end up with about 15% growth.
Right.
And out of that, if you really talk about sanitaryware, you could safely assume about 45% will be purely sanitaryware. So that would make about 550.
Right. So once Jeet starts rolling completely in FY19 and FY20, from a volume perspective, like from a revenue perspective or an EBITDA perspective, how much will Jeet really contribute? Say,
well, again, it will be outsourced. EBITDA margin, you know, you need to separate it out, and I will be focusing more on an ROE kind of a thing. What is, you know, we are investing in terms of working capital and how we get treated on that part.
Right, of course.
But then it will be sanitary are, you know, main forward, and therefore we feel that that's where the margin should be reasonably good, very good. Will not be compromising margin in anxiety that, yes, we want to build. But then it will add both margin as well as top as well as bottom line.
Fair enough. My second question was on the tiles business. You did mention about the change in concentration of the products. So could you just help us out, ki, what is, like, we are the current capacity is 10,000 square meters a day, and how much of that is soluble salt, and going forward, how much will be PVT, GVT versus soluble salt?
You see, currently is almost about 90% is soluble salt, and that we want to reduce to 70%, 30% will go to PVT, GVT, and eventually we want to have 60-40.
Okay. So, and by when could we achieve this, like early FY19 or by the end of FY19?
Maybe end of 19, you know, you would have shown those kind of a changes visible to that part.
And once the 60-40 is achieved, like
That will take 3 years from now.
Okay, so margin accretion.
Because we also would like to expand capacities if the market really permits us, you know, and then, you know, the proportion again, which kind of a market really supports us more and how we add a capacity to that, the percentage ratio, if you purely relate it to 10,000 square meters, may change.
Right, right. But, sir, once this change happens, our margin accretion will be what, around about 1.5%, 2% or more than that?
Well, it has to be more than an ROE. Today, the ROE is very open jata hai na, the ROE.
Right, of course.
So that has to be raised, and then I mean, overall, in a balance sheet, when you talk purely EBITDA margin without really taking cognizance of outsource, you know, in a totality, currently we are hardly about 14.5%, 15% margin. It has to jump back to 17%.
Agreed.
We are targeting 17% overall on a balance sheet front.
Agreed. I have some bookkeeping questions, but then I'll write it separately to you.
You can always do that.
Oh, yeah, all the best for the rest of the year and wish you good health, I guess.
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Anupam G from Stewart & McIntosh. Please go ahead.
Hello. So, congratulations on the good numbers, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much.
I would like to know if you could share the volume sales for the different segments and the growth.
You see, volume honestly is not very feasible even to share, because, you know, the product mix, whenever, you know, I've always been saying what matters is the production value. rather than the volume in terms of the numbers. You know, as we really go on a premiumization, the product mix within the category changes. Let's say, for example, a sanitary ware. The moment, you know, we have a larger products or larger volume coming in, the number would drop. But the production value would increase. So what matters to all of us is not the volume or a number that we are producing, but how much production value that we are turning out at the end of the month or end of the week or end of a period that we have determined for us. And there is a rise of, as I said, you know, these whatever the growth that I've been suggesting and talking about is purely on a production value.
So on a year-on-year and a Q-on-Q.
When you talk about a production value, it's a combination of volume and price put together. So okay. Both are covered there.
That has grown. Your volume sales have also grown, you're saying?
But no, I would not say that. It probably might have, you know, if we have, as I said, you know, if we go on a shift on a premiumization, the volume would have dropped. Might drop for a period. But then value would have gone up, and therefore the production value, using the same capacity, has gone up with a better margin. Am I reaching you? Am I correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got me correct?
All right. The next question up is like your purchase or your outsourced goods. Has there any increase in your prices? At what price you purchase?
Come again? I did not understand your
question. On the purchase of goods, like you the outsourced part. Is there any rise in prices?
There is a rise in prices because, you know, everybody's cost is going up and therefore people have been asking. But, you know, we always try to see that overall can we pass it on. And therefore, you know, we took a price rise across the product range effective October, which is ranging anything from 2.5% to 5% depending upon territory, product. So it is only not only to compensate our own overhead which is going up, but also wherever we had to give a price rise to our own suppliers.
Okay. Sir, on the other expense part, what has been contributed more to the rise in the other expense, which item?
The other expense, as I said, you know, basically would come in terms of the wage rise, which is there, which is the manufacturing expenses.
Okay.
The salary rise, the you know, because the manpower is a huge cost in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
And power cost also has gone up, so there are a lot of costs. Push that we have been experiencing on that part, and wherever possible, you know, we have also been able to pass on this because the traffic is able to bear this kind of a price that whenever we take it.
Okay, sir, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants would like to ask questions. Please press star, then one. We take the next question from the line of Manish Poddar from Renaissance Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you just probably give us what has been the sanitary and faucet category growth, let's say, for this 9 month, FY18? Any idea on that?
Could you come out? What is it? What do you
the sanitary ware and faucet category growth rate for 9 months.
Category growth rate?
Yeah.
For 9 months, I'll have to work out. I only had a quarter to quarter. That's what the earlier gentleman also asked me a question. I said, give me time.
No, not for you, but for the category at large.
The category you are talking about, what, at a macro level?
Yeah, the organized players at large, you know, probably.
Well, organized player, everybody is experiencing that the growth that, you know, including the faucets, King Jaguar has also shown a downward. You know, there, if you really see their growth, which used to be more than 15%, they have shown only about 10% or 11% growth. So market has remained subdued purely because of a lot of fiscal reforms that were in market was trying to watch it out, how it would happen. In fact, the whole 9 months, if you talk about the first quarter after the GST being rolled out, was very, very subdued.
Okay.
And therefore, you know, people had to really fall in line with how the GST would happen, what way it would happen, whether I get my credit off whatever the inventory I used to carry before 30th June or not, how does it really have a booking. So a lot of people had a more priority about selling their own books rather than doing a business. So, you know, these are abnormal circumstances which were holding back the entire growth for the industry as a whole.
Okay.
And therefore, give a time, by the time, you know, everybody settles, stabilizes, and are accepting the new regime.
Got it. And on this margin guidance, I believe you used to mention that, you know, 15.5% to 16% is the doable margin for FY18. Is there an outlook to, let's say, now going down to FY19?
Well, we always were hopeful even to cross the figure that you were talking about, but unfortunately, you know, the growth has not happened with the price rise that we were talking, that we were already did the cost push. The tires business has been under pressure because of the product mix, and therefore we have slid it down on that part. But potentially, if you talk about years, we have a lot of inbuilt strength where we can bounce back. It's a question of a time whether I can do it in next quarter or maybe after a couple of more quarters.
Got you. Fine. Thank you. And all the best.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. Participants would like to ask questions, please press star, then one.
Any more questions?
No, sir. We don't have any questions in the queue.
Okay. So then we shall conclude the call, right? So on behalf of Asian Markets, we thank everyone for joining for this call. Special thank to Bharat Bhai for sharing a detailed insight about the business and the industry performance. With that, we conclude the call. Any closing remarks, sir?
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I really thank each and everyone who have been taking interest and trying to know what more about company and how the industry is faring well. And special thanks to you, Coverage Boy, because you have been always been helping us with the call. So thank you so much to you personally. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. We disconnect now, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are for Asian Market Securities. That concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.